Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 324, the box office report for the week ending October 29th. Before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Joe is theoretically stuck in traffic.
En route,
if you were. Can't he put like one of those? Doesn't he have one of those like cop bubbles he can put on the car? Like Beretta?
The wee,
no, it was Starsky and Hutch that had the
bubble.
But it made a noise, right?
Yeah.
It had to make some sort of noise.
I guess it had to. It's been a while.
But you mean like the Naked Gun?
Did you ever wonder if those things were
like Starsky and Hutch?
Were they magnetic or were they?
Yeah, how does it just
giant suction cup?
I guess magnetic.
I mean,
cars
always
were more,
like go right. and throw it up.
I'm guessing magnetic.
Sticking my arm out the window and slapping it onto the roof of the car. Yeah.
I've never seen one in real life. Was that a real thing or is that just
a
TV thing?
I mean, I wanted one.
We got to be a cop, though.
No. Well, you go to jail. I mean, when I was a kid, though, I was like, oh, we should get one of those. And, you know, you just, like, throw it on the roof. But I was always like, are they magnetic or are they
I would think
cup?
Because of cars being, metal instead of fiberglass and everything, I bet you they're magnetic and it would really just stick there.
Because if not, there'd be that thing where, like, they'd have to take the bubble and, like, lick the bottom
of
the suction cup
exactly.
to get it to stick.
Just like those car, like a GPS or a phone holder.
I've never made one of those work properly. They always fall.
You have to lick it. Literally.
Even when I do that, they don't work. Maybe
Beretta's not going to lick that thing.
I've got too much NutraSweet in my saliva or something.
Now aspartame free.
Yeah. It's never worked. Never once. They always fall. But I think it would almost have to be a magnet. Yeah, I want to see a scene where when they're done at the scene of the crime, them trying to get that thing back off.
just leave it there.
Screw it. There'll be another crime.
I would love to just make a movie with every trope of genre movies that, you know? We talk about, on the League of Show Shares, people have been posting about that. I think Zach Bach posted it.
I think that's who it was, yeah.
I think so, but he was talking about movie tropes, and the big one that comes up, and one that I've always noticed, is the not saying goodbye when you hang up a phone. It's always mid-conversation, or you find out whatever the important information is, click. And it's like... Wait, I want to have someone calling back and going, hey, did we get disconnected?
A running gag in MST3K where they're like, okay. And then as they're going to hang up the phone,
they're like,
they'll be like, hey, one very important thing.
Yep.
You need to know that.
Exactly. Oh, it's so, yeah.
I don't think I usually say goodbye.
Really?
Yeah.
But do you at least have some kind of a sign off like, okay, see ya.
Talk to you later.
I think maybe I might say, all right, or something.
Really?
Like that.
And just hang up?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've never heard of a real person.
He's watched.
Have we talked on the phone?
No.
He's watched.
I can't even get a phone call.
He's watched so many movies. He's incorporated that.
Oh my God.
Honestly, I don't think I say goodbye. Actually, it almost sounds forward saying it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Goodbye.
All right. Hangs up. He's the one.
Yeah.
All movies are modeled after him.
I always say all bags of groceries have baguettes in them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you know they're groceries.
I think I've bought two baguettes in my entire life, but if you're in a movie,
right.
every grocery bag has a baguette sticking out.
And the video shoots that I do for my other job. Or my job.
Your other
job.
Wait, you're getting paid for this? No.
Yeah, Dan, actually, but the paycheck will come Wednesday because of the holiday, so look for it on Wednesday.
Okay? Yeah, deduction's terrible, though. And I think we've probably had about 3 baguettes so far.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just, yeah, you have to.
Like, yeah, okay.
The other one I've
that
noticed,
way we know.
Everybody be like, well, what's in that bag?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Nobody's ever said,
I really like those shoes, but what's in the bag?
The one that I always, that always gets me is the I love you. Most time people do not say I love you too back. You know, and not just Star Wars thing, but if you notice, people go, I love you, and it's always something else. Very rarely, like, I'll see a movie, and they say, I love you, too, back to them, and I'm like, wow, they actually said it.
Yeah. Well, they're scared of commitment.
That makes sense. They don't want to offend anybody, you know, love.
Is that offensive now?
I mean, I'm just guessing because it's spoken out loud. So.
Love is now a hate crime.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Keep it to yourself.
I think we could, you know, there are people who probably protest if you say love. Be like, no, I didn't agree to this.
Yeah,
right.
You know, that's psychological abuse.
That's unwanted.
Yeah,
that's just a chemical reaction, man.
Yeah,
it will. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It's just a little way to let iTunes know that we're still alive.
Yeah, they've been emailing me asking.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm going to make them wait for a review. I'm going to make them sweat it out.
Yeah. They keep being like, should we keep them on the top page featured of the front of iTunes, you know?
Or ever put them there again. So, also don't forget, you can join the League of Show Sharers if you go to facebook.com/realspoilers. And people who were kind enough to share the show this week are... Or were, or still are. I don't know what the conjugation is there. Librarian Cynthia, Griffin Fox Smith, Brandon Coleman, Chris James, Jason Herndon, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Travis T. Witt, Jason Weese, Lane Levanway, and Tammy Sherman Powers. So thank you guys for doing that.
Was that a duplicate?
Did I say it twice?
Thanks, Tammy.
Oh, I did say it twice.
Thanks, Tammy.
Sometimes it shows them to me twice and I get typing fast. So,
you know, that's just an extra. So next time you just.
Yeah, so if I forget you in the future. I got one in the bank.
Oh, it's like the Monopoly, like the get out of jail free card.
Right.
You just keep it until you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe it was a double share. You know, maybe she's
some
like,
people do.
This was awesome.
I can't tell if it's a glitch of Facebook or if some people share it multiple times. But sometimes if you go through the list of people who've shared the show, I do see people pop up multiple times. So I don't know what that means. So
one for the great philosophers.
You tricked me, Tammy Sherman Powers. You cagey. I don't know where to go next.
General.
Person.
Tank general.
Human being. So.
All right.
So anyway, there are your shameless plugs. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And since it's getting close to Halloween here, or it may be Halloween, depending on when you listen to this.
Or how quickly Kevin edits.
That's always the case. We're going to have some Halloween related movies here. And number one at the box office, I think, is no surprise, Jigsaw, or Saw 8, as some refer to it. That made $15 million.
On a what? Hey, look who's here.
Yeah, sorry.
Poof.
Oh.
Ta-da.
Hey. On a 10.
All right. Who put that? Was that Lionsgate?
Yes, it was.
Okay. What what's the gap between this one? I feel like there was a huge gap. Like, they were coming out once a year for...
Well, Saw 7 was the last movie, you know? So, I mean, they were once a year, but they stopped, and now here we are again.
When was Saw 7?
Saw 7 was... So, let's see. Well, I see Saw 6. What's Saw 3D? Is that the first one? Did they just put it in
3D? Oh, third one.
What's the year on Saw 3D?
No, because there's a Saw
3. No, because there's a Saw 3. Yeah. So, maybe Saw 3D is the last.
Is it the third one? Is it set at SeaWorld?
Maybe
is this star Dennis Quaid?
Maybe this is Saw 6 or 7. So, Saw 6 was 2009. No, Saw 3D was 2010. So, if you count, if that was a re-release or whatever
it
was.
No. It's. I think that was like the... final chapter, but they couldn't call it that because
they gotta stop putting final in horror movies.
They really
titles.
Did.
No, you're right. The tagline. So Saw 3D is 7 and it's Saw 3D, the final chapter.
Yeah, well, they gotta stop that.
It's never the final
it's
chapter.
It's never been the final.
No, not in today's day and age of reboots. I mean,
no.
Not that it hasn't been that way forever, but especially now, it's like, you can't say that. Spider-Man, the final film. So yeah, Saw made 15. I mean, I think that's really light, but then again, it's Saw 8. So
and we're what seven years removed from the last one.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess they're gonna make a couple bucks on it, but
I've never seen any of
so
them.
So one and oh, wow. two
seen all of them.
Are solid. I have not seen all. I one and two are solid.
I think that's
and
the
then,
consensus.
I feel like three was okay.
There's, I think it might have been four or five.
Which one has Donnie Wahlberg?
It might have been him. One of them. There's one that actually right it's sort of like a retcon-y version.
Yes.
But it's not, it's sort of like it's out of sequence in the kind of like how they did, I think, the last Final Destination where you realize, have you guys seen these? Do you care? Spoiler.
There's a connecting thread the whole
the
time.
The last Final Destination when you realize it actually is leading right up to the very first events in the very first Final Destination.
Like,
so it's kind of cool.
Oh, they like, so don't, it's like a you don't know going in that yeah. It's technically a prequel.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, so you're right. There
is something
one.
In one. I don't know. It was yeah, four yeah, five. Yeah. It was actually really good. So
like, where they bring back Carrie. It's like they you see Carrie Ewells.
Yeah, and, having watched. I've seen all of them. And yeah, there was one that was like, oh, that was pretty good. The rest of them are crap.
Yeah, they're garbage. Mm-hmm. It's that this that's the beginning. It's James Wan. Like, James Wan, wrote and directed the first one, and that was his kind of debut.
It was his meal ticket.
Yeah. And yeah. I think the other guy who plays the photographer in the first one is also his writing partner.
Oh, really?
Like, I think he has a lot to do with, like, he wrote part of The Conjuring. Like, they're a team. Like, those two guys are a team.
Interesting. Well, Jigsaw, $15 million on a $10 million budget. So
you think they'd call it like Saw something?
Well, because it's a prequel, so it's supposed to be how Jigsaw became.
I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I think they figure Saw people will know what it means,
right.
And the kids that haven't seen a Saw movie in theaters ever
that
aren't even aware of it as a franchise maybe would still buy a ticket.
That's true.
But and also when you're 7 years removed, I mean, Saw 8 does not sound good.
Oh, no. I don't mean like calling it Saw 8, but I just mean like, I mean, that
you could put a like a subtitle
Jigsaw
on it.
Or Saw Origins.
Yeah, something like that.
A Jigsaw. Well, I don't think you should.
A Jigsaw story.
A Saw story.
You should never attach Origins to a movie at this point.
Yeah. If Wolverine has taught us anything.
Yes, they've killed that word.
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, I guess it'll make a few bucks. We'll see where that one goes. But number two, Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
Literally.
That scared me. That was number one last weekend. It made $20 million, so it made about $10 million this weekend.
On a $2 budget.
Something like that. No, $25 million on this.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess they figured that the movies make a ton of money, but now they're starting to run into, like, they need to stick with that Blumhouse model. You put 25 and it makes 30 the first 2 weeks.
That's nowhere near as good as when you put, you know, four.
Five to a 50 30. Or whatever. Yeah. So.
Oh, I bet they do pretty nice on home video.
You think so?
You think so?
Yeah. So, like, what do you think the home video market is at this point? You know, like, so.
Oh, it's people that don't go to theaters.
But, I mean, let's go back. Certainly.
And
15
I think
years,
the
though.
Madea movies have an older audience too.
Oh, that's probably
I mean, there's.
True.
I mean, I'm not saying exclusively, but I think because of the Madea character, there are older people that watch those movies that might not watch any of Tyler Perry's other
that's
movies.
Probably true.
He's kind of like he's Madea is his
Clouseau.
No, I was gonna say
Mama.
There, Mama's Family.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah,
that show's great.
And
I still love that show.
I mean, is it any different?
No. I guess it's not. So. I guess it's the same character.
You know, I mean, people rip on
him. Who was that? What was her name?
Vicki Lawrence.
Thank you. Yeah.
People rip on him in this character because it's so lowbrow and it's stereotypes and start and it's like and there are some truth to those arguments.
Sure.
But is it any different than Mama's Family? It's just a black Mama's Family.
It's the exact same character.
I
thought you were going kind of the route of like how Peter Sellers had to carry that albatross around his
right.
neck and continued it because it was money in the bank. But at the same time, you know, we've seen Tyler Perry and other things.
What was
and
he
he's,
in that?
He's great.
What was that last thing?
He was in Alex Cross by himself.
Was
he was Ninja Turtles, Baxter Stockman.
Gone Girl.
That's what it was. Where he was the lawyer.
And it was like, remember he's really good.
Wasn't he the captain before Pike in the Star Wars reboot?
No.
Yes, he was in that.
That sounds familiar.
What did I say?
Star Wars.
Star Trek. Yes. Mm. Yeah, I feel like he was the captain.
It sounds familiar.
I think he was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me do a clickaroo here.
So that's why it's like, you know, he could get criticized and people can't criticize, but you know what? He's financing other things.
Yeah, sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
It's like a guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Star Trek cameo.
There it is.
Yep. And also don't forget that, that the Madea character came out of the black theater circuit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of that, like he, like, you know, it started as very, is they're kind of like pretty churchy,
yeah.
You know? And, and so because of that, there's there,
the whole different audience.
Madea has a built in older fan base in the black community,
yeah.
That because they would see her, like, she was just like an ancillary character in one, in, you know, in story and like just
blew up,
crushed it. And he was like, well, I guess I need to make something, make her bigger in the next one.
I guess I've got something here.
Yeah.
It's just, I wonder,
well,
like,
Ernest was somebody who was pushing, not heat pumps, because
like Laclede gas or something.
Well,
it was like a syndicated commercial.
Yeah,
right. Because it was like heat pumps, schmeat pumps. But he did it for a bunch of different products. Mm-hmm. Like it was.
Is that pre the show?
Or did he
pre everything? Pre.
Oh, he started off with soda, car dealerships. He was a character created by an ad agency.
Yeah,
is that right?
They created him, so that's why it wasn't just Jim Varney. Like,
did they get
stand
a cut
up.
Off everything?
Yeah,
did that ad agency get a cut off of everything after
that? Oh, probably. The owner of the ad agency directed the movies.
Is that right?
So they became friends. But I mean,
explains those movies.
They created that character, and so they would license him out. I mean, they would create commercials for local car dealerships. Mm-hmm. It was always I think it was Pepsi products, I want to say.
Could have been.
And Mountain Dew's Pepsi, right?
Yeah.
So it was Mountain Dew and all those, Sprite, and he did all those. There's a great, if you have...
Sprite is Coke.
Sprite is on its own?
Oh.
Sprite is Coke.
Oh, 7-Up is on its own.
Maybe it's 7-Up.
7-Up is
Dr.
Pepsi
Pepper
thing. 7-Up and Dr. Pepper, they might have been absorbed by somebody at some point, but were originally completely separate. So it was like Coke, Pepsi, and 7-Up, Dr. Pepper were totally different things.
All right. So I think... and then it turned into the show from the commercials. If you go on Amazon, because, you know, I'm an Ernest fan. I grew up with it. That's one of my, guilty pleasure deep fried tacos. If you go on Amazon Prime, they have the whole collection of the commercials.
Oh, that's weird.
They're funny. I mean, you can just watch the 30-second.
You ever seen Ernest's Family Album?
No.
That cracked me up.
Yeah.
Really?
It was like him.
Is it a movie?
It was. It's like a 45-minute show.
That was early on.
And it was basically like he's telling you his family heritage. And so he's like, there's like where he's like in the cavalry and the Indians are. And then he plays like the cavalry guy and the Indian.
Of course.
And he's like, the line that always killed me is like the Indians trying to get him to open the door to the gate to the fort,
yeah,
and he's like, come on out, we have gifts. like
he's the land shark.
Yeah, he's like, we have gifts. Like, just,
I'm not answering that door. You're that land shark. I'm a dolphin man.
Now that you say it.
I'm a dolphin man. Yeah. Oh, well, in that case,
yeah.
So anyway, the bad thing for the Tyler Perry Boo here, when you compare it to the first one, the original Boo Madea Halloween made $73 million on a $20 million budget.
Oh, so the budget's not even
on its opening weekend?
No, total. But it made 28, whereas this one made 20, did I say?
Because it's week two, yeah.
Yeah, so, opening made 20, right?
Right.
So this opened to 20. The other one opened to 28, but ended up making almost 75. Yeah. I think Saw coming out against it. I know they're different audiences.
Yeah,
but
they're
still
pretty different.
But I mean, Halloween movies. Like,
right.
If there was a crossover, you're going to pick.
And you're going to go see it.
Well,
no, I don't know.
Yeah, that might be a little late, but maybe.
Well, this weekend, you're going to stay home and watch Stranger Things.
So it's funny. So Justice League is 2 weeks out,
which is crazy because
is that right?
Yeah, it's like mid-November.
Okay, so
is it?
Yeah,
same with me. I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah,
that movie's
2 weeks
coming
out. What is Marvel releasing?
Hold on, let me check. No pulse for that movie.
Yeah,
I have like a small pulse, only because I like Superman and like I want
to
see.
I know, but I love Batman, and it's like I have never wanted to just not see. If we didn't do a podcast on it, which I know we probably will. I would probably just not see this
That's
movie.
That's not true. There's no way.
I'd rent a Justice League movie. I'd
in
rent
theaters.
It or something. I don't want to see it.
I just think it's funny. So that comes out the 17th. And what is Marvel putting out against it on the same day?
What?
The Punisher.
Oh, nice.
The Punisher on Netflix is coming out the same day as Justice League.
This was a stacked week, and I'll tell you, someone like Dustin, and probably I'm sure other people would appreciate it, but three AAA video game releases. Mario Odyssey, the first Mario game on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Origins, and Wolfenstein 2. And then Stranger Things. But, I mean, three AAA titles, I mean, you know, big ones, not indie stuff. I mean, those are three huge games on Friday and Stranger Things. It's like everyone's competing for the exact same pie.
I don't know why we're doing all the same time.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing about games, though, is that just because of the ticket, you know, the price of it.
Sure.
They want to come out a little bit earlier just because they know that they get a big boost for the holidays.
Yeah.
Oh,
a lot
true.
Of people will buy, you know,
that's true. Gifts. They've got a month to go. And, yeah.
So, I mean, they make good gifts. Like, you know, like, yeah, people aren't buying usually other people like movies and stuff like that. But for games, it's like, yeah, cool. You
sure.
know, so
I already bought, was it Mario Odyssey?
Mm-hmm.
I already bought that for the Switch.
There it is.
Yeah.
My kid doesn't listen. So, it's,
yeah. So, but, you know, yeah, it's weird that they would have them all at the same time, but they're like their shelf life is
a lot
different.
From my point of view, I was like, well, I think the week before, I don't know if it was just last week I was playing South Park, but the week before that there were no releases. So
right.
I thought
last week was South Park and WWE.
Yeah, so it's like there was one week with none, and it's like, well, why three on the same day when you could have at least had one of those taken
stagger it out a little bit.
Right, but anyway, so yeah, crazy.
I think we're at the end of the fiscal.
Oh, we're right. There. We could be. That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Crazy.
Fourth quarter. Yeah.
So if you were
we're into the third quarter.
Third quarter heading into fourth.
Right.
Yeah.
So coming in at number three, Geostorm.
Roland Emmerich at his finest.
Now, will I be able to understand this story because I have not yet seen Geo Metro?
No, but have you seen Geo Prism?
I owned one for 13 years.
That explains everything.
They're reliable little cars.
The girl I dated in high school had a Geo Metro with no power steering. And you'd think that, like, even a car that size, you're like, this is easy.
Her hand jobs must have been amazing.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 seconds tops.
I think this is more about you than her.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Either way.
I was like, I've got to shake the maraca at that, but mostly just to help you out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Blur.
I got, it was fun for me.
Nice.
But Geostorm, the non-Joe relationship story, made $5.2 million, which was a 62% drop from opening weekend. So a little over 10, 11.
That is Roland Emmerich, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Does he only make disaster
That's
movies?
All
is that
he does.
His thing now?
When did that happen?
After Independence Day, he just started making like 2012.
He didn't do it. Yeah, did Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like.
There was something, though.
Nope.
Really?
Independence Day was 97.
Wait, this is directed
by. When did he go full?
Dean Devlin. So you take that back.
Oh,
dirty.
I will. Yeah, sorry.
But when did they go full, like, Irwin Allen? Was it. I mean,
Independence Day is like the kickoff of that disaster.
I mean,
I guess is what you could call it.
Yeah,
it's definitely this is definitely in the vein of that. So I thought he produced it. No, I don't think so. But I know.
He came back and did Independence Day 2.
Yeah, Independence Day, The Day After Tomorrow, 10,000 BC, 2012.
I don't get the hatred for that movie.
Which one?
2012?
No, Independence Day 2. I mean, it was
serviceable.
It was no worse than the first one.
I think it was
worse.
That's how
I felt.
The first one's not good.
The first one's not good.
The first
one was good in the moment. When you go back and watch it now, like, you know, you might watch it through a nostalgia prism. The only thing Independence Day 2, I think, was missing that Independence Day 1
Will
had
Smith.
Was Will Smith. Was a breakout star
if they
performance.
Got Robert Loggia to come back for Independence Day 2, but they couldn't
and
get
Brent
Will
Spiner,
Smith.
Who I thought
Brent
was
Spiner.
Dead in the
first
one.
Yeah, of course. Guess what? He's alive and gay. So,
Look like they may have brought him back from the dead.
What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying, like, it was this, like, that character.
Yes.
What was his name? Oaken? Dr. Oaken?
Yeah,
but like
so,
all of a sudden they're
coming
like,
in
we need to bring him back, and we have to like, oh, not only are we going to bring him back, but we're going to add more crap to his character.
Backstory.
Yeah.
So, yeah. okay, number three was Geostorm, $5.2 million. It is at $23 million now, domestic. And let's see, carry the one, press the back button here. $120 million budget. Oh my god!
That has to be the biggest box office loss of the year, right?
And it's only made $52 million foreign, which is okay, but not on $120 million budget. Good lord!
It's hard to like. It's so funny because I can't remember what we've seen this year.
I know,
like
it blurs. There together. Are things
like I forgot Logan was this year.
Yeah.
Completely forgot that came out this year.
I want to see that Geostorm though, because not okay. Like if it's on, like, because to me it's like. Wow, it's like a really bad sci-fi channel movie.
Right on. Right on.
It's a really
awful title.
It's terrible.
Like, that's a terrible title.
I mean, I don't expect. I mean, this is. Let me qualify that. I think it's going to be awful, enjoyably awful. But right. I mean, it was like when I saw that, I was like, "Well, this looks so stupid." The first thing I saw,
it's
was
a bad story.
There's an egg frying on the street. I'm like, "Oh yeah, that looks terrible."
Probably. I mean, The Dark Tower did pretty poorly.
Oh,
right?
That's true.
That had a big budget.
That had a huge budget.
I don't have the actual numbers.
Not in the twos, I don't think, but at least in the 175, maybe.
Yeah, it was pretty big for a fall.
Big old budget.
I saw Stephen King said now that the TV show will be completely unrelated to
Shocking.
The movie.
Yes.
Okay,
I believe I said that within 5 minutes of having seen the film.
Originally, it was going to be a TV show.
Yes,
yeah.
And Ron Howard was behind it.
Yes.
And they were trying to get HBO on board, I thought.
Yeah, that sounds right. I thought it was... you might be right. I thought it was AMC, but...
Which I thought was a good idea.
Perfect.
But maybe because of Westworld, HBO was kind of iffy on it. Because, they got two...
Right.
But Westerns... So, I don't know. I mean...
Western sci-fis, too. Like, that's...
Is it going to be still the Gunslinger?
I think they're going to go from square one. Like, they're starting over. I think they'll probably start with the first book and probably do it right.
So, I mean, they could...
But I don't know where it's going to land.
So
I don't think it'll end up at HBO because now that... Not only do they have Westworld, so Game of Thrones doesn't come back until 2019.
And they've got all those Game of Thrones spinoffs.
Yep.
They're saying are amazing. Like, the HBO's... Very happy. They said that the stories I've read is that they said that the scripts that they've collected. That
do they say who they are?
I don't watch the show anymore. I give up. So
I thought Gunslinger. They were looking at Amazon Prime.
Maybe, but HBO also just optioned Watchmen. So they've got all of these.
But that's straight up sci-fi.
What
Watchmen?
Yeah. But I mean, like, they've got a big show.
Yeah.
I don't think they can.
I was thinking Amazon because I know Amazon is the
Handmaid's Tale and
whoever runs
that
Hulu, division.
Not Amazon,
is that what
Hulu.
That is?
Okay.
Basically has ordered them, like, go get me a property.
Juggernaut?
Something.
Yeah. Like, what do they call it? God, I can't think today.
Tentpole?
The water.
Tentpole.
Jug.
Water cooler.
Show. Yeah, I got you.
I got a water cooler show.
What does Amazon? Does Amazon Prime have anything?
They Bosch? Do the.
They
the,
have
the castle. The
they have smaller. Yeah, Man in the High Castle. Bosch. The Tick.
I like that show.
Jace. This show with Dennis Quaid is supposed to be really good. That I keep Fortitude. I think is it.
Okay.
I
feel like they're more of like the artsy.
I think Amazon's biggest show is probably
Transparent. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So they have a respectable.
Yeah. Yeah, and Transparent won some stuff, right?
Oh, like, he wins
he,
like every
he
year.
He won, or
yeah.
The show won?
He's won Best Actor at least twice in a row.
Okay.
So. But anyway, yeah, and if you want to go back and listen to some great previous episodes, don't forget Monster Trucks and King Arthur Legend of the Sword, both gigantic flops.
Massive
losses.
I don't
think Monster Truck counts because it came out in this year, but it was filmed really like 5 years ago.
Well...
That
just,
was.
Yeah.
What a piece of garbage.
Yeah. So moving on, number four, Happy Death Day made $4.7 million. That's a 50% drop, bringing it to $47.995. I think I'll call that $48
million. That's fair.
Is that good for you guys? Okay.
Yeah. Going to be lazy.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. $48 million in week three, and let's go to the box office budget. $4.8 million.
Yeah, that's so, a special right there.
They did it. Once again, Universal making some big money. So 57 plus this week's actually, so that's over $60 million on a $5 million budget. You can't argue with that. That's...
I wonder if they've ever had a flop.
Didn't we talk about that?
At those prices,
I'm saying. Like, I don't know how you can.
I don't think you can. You can have things that don't do as well, and maybe even lose money.
Right.
But to me, a flop is like you just
$250 million and you make $15 million.
Like, when you're spending $5 million on a movie, I don't know that you can have anything that's bad enough.
So that the last Paranormal Activity made. Like, they gave that a bigger budget, and it recouped it, I think, but it wasn't anywhere near as profitable as the first 15 of those movies.
Hmm.
I don't know if it was 15 or not. What a piece of garbage that movie was.
Did you watch Amityville, The Awakening?
How about Amityville?
Amityville?
Amity.
Oh, okay. Sure. Whatever.
What's the there's your new Josh Brolin.
Were you serious? did you really think?
What was the town? What do you call the town in Jaws?
I don't remember.
Amity?
Amity.
Oh, Amity.
Ville.
Ah, Amity? Amityville. Ville.
Yeah.
Amityville.
Yeah. Yes. I think they tore that house down. That house was there forever.
How could that house get tore down?
I don't know.
I mean, you would think
that's probably one of the most famous houses.
Yeah, like you would just turn it into a museum or something. It's hell,
man. I mean, they took Ralphie's house. And
they did take Ralphie's house. That's right.
Huge thing.
The Myers house. They picked up the Michael Myers.
What do you think the people that own Ralphie's house are doing in August?
I don't know. They picked up. So the house they filmed for Halloween.
They're like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra of museums.
we're just counting down
they
the days.
They got 30 days to make their money. One, two, three, go.
Yeah.
It's feast or famine. I know somebody who was up there like a couple months ago, and
does it look exactly the same?
Because I think the fondness for that is like if you happen to be there, like
right.
I don't
if
think
you're
people
in the
are
area.
Trekking.
It's like
there.
The Home Alone house.
Yeah, it's like so. I think it's like if you are in the area,
right?
It's like, well, why wouldn't you go? Because right. It's not like you're gonna wait till December 23rd,
right?
But.
They moved. They were gonna tear it. So the house they used for the Myers house in Halloween, they were gonna tear it down. They moved that whole house like to a closer. I feel like to the Universal lot. So you can go, like, it's still there. Like, they moved the entire house to a different spot, and they didn't tear it down. But you can go back through that house, and I feel like it's close to Universal, I think. Hmm. Yeah. I think the Home Alone house sold for, like, $5 million or something.
It was on sale.
It was on sale
amount.
Not too long ago.
I mean, all those neighborhoods in the
I guess that's true. The Chicago suburbs. Like that.
Yeah. Well, that was that house was already close to that, just... Because of the neighborhood.
Yeah, no, right, right.
I think the value was already there.
Yeah. I want that attic so bad. Like Kevin's like, he's like, go to the attic, and he's like, oh, nuts. And I was like, no, dude. Like, that's choice. You don't have to sleep with Fuller. He won't pee the bed. And you get this sweet attic all to yourself. What are you whining about?
I wouldn't want to own that house.
No. Because of all the photos.
Like, it's like the Breaking Bad. The guys that own the Breaking Bad house.
Right.
They're constantly getting pizza off their roof.
Right. Fencing it in now.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
The people that own the full house condo.
Oh, right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. We've been past that a few times. And yeah, I mean,
you're
not supposed to slow down.
Oh, yeah. That's a real house.
Yeah. I mean, I know
it's
one
of the painted ladies.
Just the exterior.
Yeah, the exterior.
Because I thought that was a set.
No, it's one of the painted ladies. That's what they call those, that row of homes. And. You're not supposed to slow down and not supposed to stop and take pictures. And the San Francisco police are not really enforcing that. So. Yeah.
Until Dirty Harry shows up.
Yeah, Harry Callahan. Harry Callahan
starts shooting out your tires.
Oh, my God.
It's so weird. It's so weird to think that, like, one of the best known movies about, like, a rogue cop who writes his own rules and doesn't care about civil liberties is set in San Francisco.
There's two of them. Bullet, too.
Paradox.
Oh, yeah. Like, Bullet's set in San Francisco. And it's not the same movie, but he's basically the same character.
Right.
Yeah.
You
is
know?
Heat in San Francisco?
Ooh. Heat, I don't think is
I
in
thought
San
there was
Francisco.
One an action type movie that was around there, but I could be mistaken.
But yeah, give me that movie. Give me Bullet and Dirty Harry as partners just for fun.
My Dirty Harry was supposed to be Frank Sinatra.
It was. Yeah. How many weird.
But he
iconic,
was busy doing Die Hard.
Doing Die Hard.
So.
Yeah.
he was attached to so many things that are just like, what?
How old would he have been? And what year did that come out? 75?
He would have been like probably 65, maybe.
Okay. So I could possibly, I could see that more than I could see him as John McClane.
We're still getting Stallone movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Stallone.
We're still getting Schwarzenegger movies.
When was the last Schwarzenegger movie?
Oh my gosh, he comes out with like three
Terminator.
A year now.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, did you see that? Did you see that thing that he said? The camera was just like, no, he's in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I saw you post that. No, yeah. Schwarzenegger was just in a movie.
Okay, I take that back. When was the last big? But Terminator is the last big budget.
Oh, I thought he just made wasn't making.
No. Yeah, that's true.
No, because he was. God, I don't remember it.
It's
like a comedian wrote the script for it.
Yeah,
who,
probably. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it, but it's like kill someone or get.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, sounds like something like Get Short.
I will say, like, so that if you go to the Real Spoiler League of Show Shares, I posted an interview with Cameron and Tim Miller. And, like, I appreciate, like, Tim Miller looks excited because I'm sure he's just like, yeah, Let's do a Terminator movie.
Tim Miller of Deadpool fame is directing the new Terminator.
That's why he didn't do Deadpool 2.
Well, no, I think he...
I think they were just like, no, let's... Well, really? It could be one of two things. Yeah,
no way he walked away. That was a huge movie. There's no way he walked away to do Terminator.
I'm just saying he's doing Terminator.
I know.
So,
I just,
but James Cameron's back doing Terminator.
Yeah, like the deal... He's
producing it.
Yes, the deal with the rights is like they had to get something going by... 2019.
He ran out the clock.
He did run out, literally. Yeah,
I mean, that's
exactly. And he got the rights back, so they're doing. And it's weird because in that interview he says, "No, like the material is organic, so it gets old." But the ends, he's like a machine. And I'm just like, you're describing what happened in Genesis.
Yeah,
like you know that, right? I feel like Cameron may not have seen it, and he doesn't know that it already already tried it.
We had some guys already work on the kind of the story.
Exactly. Oh, they're not going to de-age him. They're going to do old Schwarzenegger.
Why don't they just have him be the guy that it was modeled on, but he's old now?
And maybe they are. Who knows?
You said that since the beginning. That's a great idea to have, gosh, a story with the real guy, and he actually can get hurt, but it's like he's still a kick-ass guy.
Right.
Like, that'd be awesome.
They modeled it on him because he's so badass. Yeah.
Right.
And they just added the robot stuff.
The robots.
If you're listening.
There's no way James Cameron has seen Genesis.
No.
There's no way he said. It's like like watching your high school sweetheart's sex tape.
Yeah. Unless you're into that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, I doubt he is.
I don't know.
James Cameron is too self-absorbed.
I
retract what I was thinking.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, he is, but I also think he wants to be like proven right kind of guy.
Yeah, totally.
I could see that.
So, you know, it's like knowing the reaction to it. So he could be like,
so he would watch his high school sweetheart sex tape.
Just to critique it.
And be like, okay, well, I mean, he's longer, but I'm thicker.
Yeah. I mean, I gave her a better orgasm. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, since it's me and not you.
I hope I can get Patty Jenkins to work craft services for me on this movie.
What an idiot.
I don't know, man. Hey, Cameron lately has like made no decisions that I like.
Zero.
You know, it's like I wouldn't bag on that.
He hasn't made a decision.
This Terminator thing sounds like okay. We've got 17 sequels to Avatar coming out. It's like, all right.
Not a moment too soon. What, 10 years later?
Yeah. Talk about like a gap between a franchise. That's not even a franchise.
It's
just one movie.
The number one grossing movie of all time. Like you think
two.
Maybe it spit out.
Right.
Well, yeah, but that is, sure. And it's like maybe it spit out a sequel within
Titanic
10 years.
Two, Jack's Revenge.
I mean, there was a period of time where we were getting things like The Abyss and True Lies, and you know,
I think True Lies is my favorite Cameron flick.
It's a great movie.
I love
True
Lies. That's so good.
It's totally forgotten. There's people who've never seen it.
Yeah, because they've never released it. It's never been on Blu-ray. It's never been
really.
Nope.
Wow.
And I think that's the best combo of them.
Really?
I mean, Terminator 2. I think
T2 is so good.
That's in a league of its own. Like that's kind of its own thing.
It is good, but not all of it.
How many versions on home video do you think there are of T2?
A lot.
Oh,
I think
at least five Blu-rays.
I think it rivals
there's
Back
like
to the Future.
Three laser discs.
Yeah,
Back to the Future and Superman.
VHSs.
Oh, that's true. Blade Runner. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I don't know. We'll see what Cameron can pull out of his hat. But he's Terminator. we'll just leave it there. Number five. Thank you for your service. Did anyone see that? But besides me,
no.
No.
That was pretty good. I mean, it really is a serviceable film. I it's not one that I would
hate the title.
It's not good.
The title is so pandering.
Yeah.
Like it's,
especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that's going on.
I will say, though, it really works for the movie, and it has a good message. It's not one that I would watch over and over again, but the whole point of the movie is to show you that these soldiers coming back, not all of them have missing limbs and physical trauma. A lot of them have invisible injuries, like brain injuries.
Oh, yeah.
PTSD, of course. I mean, tons of that. And so, really, the movie gets across that point. It shows you the VA. It shows you the lives at home, how these guys struggle. And it's all based on real people. And David Finkel is a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist who went overseas to Iraq and was with the guys with the bullets and the bombs and followed these guys and wrote a book about their lives and then followed them home and wrote a book called Thank You for Your Service that this is based on. So these are real people. And
I literally went Einhorn As soon as you said Finkel, the first thing that popped in my head was Einhorn.
Yeah. So it, you know, so it really does get the point across. Miles Teller's excellent in it. Again, it's not one that like you'd only need to watch every year, I don't think, but like for people as civilians to understand what the soldiers go through, I think it does a really good job. And it's not polished. It's well done, but it's not polished. So right. It is very, would you know, gritty.
So what was it? What was the one with Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal?
Brothers?
Yeah.
That movie came out, and before that, I said for years, I said, God, they look so much alike.
He was going to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm like, those two are almost identical, and that comes out, I'm like, thank you, a movie about them being
And
brothers.
Now he's going to be Green Lantern.
What?
No, I made that.
Oh, I was like, what?
But, breaking news. Yeah. It's completely untrue.
No,
but
totally untrue.
Broke news.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what the internet's all about now.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Fake news. Fake superhero news.
Fake superhero news.
So, unlike Zach Levi.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, Brendan. $4.1 million on a $20 million budget. I think it's unfortunate because it is enjoyable. It is, I would say it is.
So you enjoy watching our soldiers have PTSD.
It's a good story. It's a good story.
Is it Miles Teller?
Yeah. He's okay, really good. Yeah.
It's a good story to watch our soldiers suffer.
Right. But I'll tell you what.
Does he hold a plastic baby?
I interviewed the director of this movie, and there is a baby in the movie, and it's a real baby.
Oh, good.
I almost asked him, because he wrote American Sniper. I'm sorry.
Shut your mouth.
The director of this movie wrote American Sniper.
Okay.
That's its kind of
So I know this is a total coincidence. He didn't know that. So he wrote American Sniper.
It's my Hans Zimmer thing from last week.
I was sitting across from him at the interview, and I almost asked, so you decided to get a real baby for this one.
I would have done it off.
That was not his call.
Yeah.
No, I know. I was going to ask him, like.
That was because Clint Eastwood likes to two takes.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't do it with a baby.
They had one, and then whatever issue, and then they had another one.
Oh, they actually had real babies?
They had two babies.
And Clint's like,
he always like, hires.
Forget it. Forget it. I've never had a picture late, and we're not doing it now.
No. But
damn it. Dip that baby in plastic. We'll make sure it doesn't move.
But the thought did cross my mind.
I would have done it like off the record.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so, like,
anyway.
I don't think anybody...
Yeah.
See that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Number six, Blade Runner 2049 brought in $4 million. It's a 46% drop in week four, bringing the domestic total to $81 million. And let's see, do we have a foreign take?
Swing and a miss.
Yep.
$120 million foreign, so it's at $200 million on a $150 million budget. I mean, that's not that bad, though.
Does that recoup its budget?
Not yet, yeah. But I'm just saying it's $200 on a $150 with home video and the rest of the theatrical run. Like, I don't want Denny Villeneuve to lose his pants on. Like you said, you don't want to make a flop and then people start thinking it's him, which it wasn't. It's a quality movie.
I think it's a really good movie. It's just, it's a movie that doesn't need to be set in the Blade Runner world. Like, you can tell that story without those Blade Runner characters.
But I think if you told them, people would be like, this is kind of like Blade Runner.
Exactly.
Like the detective story, like the...
Well, sure.
The skeletal structure of the detective story. Well,
detective stories are great.
Yeah.
They can be.
Yeah. Unlike Harry Hole.
Yeah.
Which we missed. I don't know how, as anybody has listened to this podcast, we missed the joke of Harry Hole.
We're getting older.
That's true.
We're growing up. We're more mature.
It was hard to just give any of that movie
attention. That's fair.
I told Tom after the podcast, like 10 minutes before it ended, and I think getting into Dan's video recovery, I thought it, and I'm like, how did you guys not mention it? I'm like, you know, I don't want this to go any longer.
We're done.
We were trying to stay within an hour.
Yeah. We did, and we didn't come close. I don't think we did like an hour 15.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you counted only the parts where about the movie. Fair enough.
There was 20 minutes of stuff before it started.
Before we even could bring ourselves to discuss the film.
So anyway, Blade Runner 2049, $200 on a $150. Number seven, Only the Brave. So that's kind of a similar genre of movie to Thank You for Your Service, I think.
Except it's about the Taliban.
Correct.
It's just the other side of the story.
It's a bold move for that title.
Yeah, it's kind of like Flags of Our Fathers and Sands of Iwo Jima. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
This stars Josh Brolin. Don't you badmouth it. This has a pretty big list of actors. Josh Brolin, Miles Teller, Jennifer Connelly, Jeff Bridges, Taylor Kitsch, James Badgedale. No, I have no idea.
I was like, who's that?
He was on Rubicon. TV show. He was also one of the bad guys in Iron Man 3.
That's all you had to say. There you go.
Yeah. And he was in that reboot of Amityville Horror.
And I think he was...
Wait, in the Ryan Reynolds one?
I was just
an excuse to make fun of Kevin.
Kevin. No,
I didn't realize it had to be real.
No, it doesn't have to be real.
He was also on the HBO show The Pacific.
The inflection.
Do you really need to make things up to make fun of me? I mean, at this point,
we have plenty of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
real shows, and he was on that.
But so Only the Brave is about a group of firefighters.
Yeah, that's the firefighter one.
And so, but it also stars Miles Teller. So you know,
oh, interesting.
He has within 2 weeks. He's a soldier from Iraq.
So are they saying
that
the firefighters are more brave than our military men and our police officers?
I won't stand for this.
Who was?
But you don't have to thank them.
That's true.
See, so
yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
They're brave, but they.
So know. Josh Brolin's in this.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about Zach Levi because I wanted to know what you because you liked Chuck, right?
Yeah.
So
I like Chuck.
So you did too.
Blake
okay, I did
Chuck.
As well. So he's the so Zach Levi is the second guy to do the crossover.
Oh yeah, Thor.
Yeah. Too. So he's Heimdall. No, not Heimdall.
No.
No, he's
James
one of the Warriors
Bond.
Three.
One yeah. of the Warriors Three,
and now he's going to be Captain.
But
Marvel.
He was only one of the Warriors Shazam. Three in
the second
two.
One. I think he's in the three. Is he in
okay.
three?
Okay.
He's in three.
Okay.
He's in three.
Fair enough.
Technically.
It's okay. For any of you, it's called Ragnarok for a reason. All right. Like, that's going to be a thing. So we're going to lose some people in that movie. But yeah, like, I find it's, I'm happy to see that they cast, like, I think that's a good choice. I like him.
I loved
that.
Him in Thor, too. I thought in
yeah.
Thor, too.
No, but
he played that character. I just mean, I like his charisma. He can be
he's
in a superhero
Flynn
movie and fight.
Loved him in Yogi Bear.
Was he in Yogi Bear?
Loved him in Alvin and the Chipmunks 2.
These are all real things.
These are real
things. They can't all be. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, the guy's got to get paid. His show got canceled. He's got to make money.
Those were actually, I think, while Chuck was still on the air.
Dope!
Yeah.
Well, he knew his show was going to get canceled, so.
That show was always on the bubble.
Right.
Yeah, so, that was always on the bubble.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then who was the other thing? Gareth Edwards is doing Deathstroke.
Really?
Yeah.
Doing it. Wow.
So, I mean, the guy that did the Raid 1 and 2, I was like, yeah, okay.
Well, he doesn't have to deal with Kathleen Kennedy, so that's a plus for him.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool. I have Deathstroke's first appearance.
As
so
do I.
I'll
Teen
take
Titans,
that
deal. Teen Titans number 2. Number
I
two.
Have Deathstroke previews exclusive metallic pop.
Okay.
I think Teen Titans number 2 is actually worth more than number 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's because that Teen Titans X-Men crossover go for these days?
Not much. The, oh, the really? Walt Simonson.
Yeah.
Chris Claremont. Yeah, not much.
Yeah.
It's so the big ones in there. So DC Comics Presents 22 or 25 is the first appearance of like Cyborg and Starfire.
Okay,
is it possible that those values will go down in a couple weeks?
No, because they never do. Like even if the movie's garbage, people still like the Venom.
It just raises
I just like, thought this might be possible for them to do this.
No,
like
no such luck.
And then there's the first appearance of Nightwing. Is in Tales of the Teen, not Dick Grayson.
Tales
of
the
Teen. What if we get a stinger or like a cameo?
I mean, it'd be interesting.
Directed by Chris McKay for Nightwing, just to like throw him in there.
It would be an interesting. I think so. There's apparently a cameo,
okay,
in this movie. It's either going to be Green Lantern, or possibly Captain Marvel. I don't know, or Shazam. Sorry, you can't call him Captain Marvel,
right?
Because
you watch your mouth.
Yeah, it's something completely different. But yeah,
Alex Ross is like Zachary Levi as Captain Marvel, comma Shazam.
Captain Marvel,
Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't. I think you know. I like him as the choice. Apparently, The Rock's not in the movie.
That's what they say.
That's silly.
So you just lost $300 million
easily,
or he's the. Post credits.
The Thanos.
Oh.
The Rock sitting in a chair going, I'll do it to myself.
No,
they're going to have something.
You have to have him. Like, Black Adam is his.
They're not going to.
There's nobody else to.
They're
going to
have him because then that way they can pretty much probably get a sequel.
Sure. Sure.
Because if they just tease
say
him
the
in the
Rock
costume.
Is, he's coming.
Then people. I mean, the guy.
Well, they were talking that he was
going to
be the villain in Man of Steel 2.
I know. It's. But like, it's, yeah. I think they're trying to save their, you know, but they could be making the same mistake they did with Green Lantern is like, we'll have Sinestro and
do
we'll
the
tease him at the end.
As the Yellow Lantern.
That wasn't enough.
No, it was not enough.
<I didn't, laughs>
you know? That was a good scene. Like, I liked that scene.
Yeah.
But it was just like, well.
Where he goes evil.
And
too little, too exactly, yeah.
To paraphrase, but when I said something to Kevin, that's like saying it's the best part of a fart.
Ooh. True. Oh, I feel better now.
The best part of a fart is when you didn't crap yourself.
Don't worry. They did on that movie.
Yeah.
So,
if you know, with our luck, we're going to get Armie Hammer as Hal Jordan. We're just like, ugh.
You mean Mr. Charisma?
Yeah.
Himself?
Yeah. That's exactly what I mean.
Number eight, The Foreigner. That's Jackie Chan's film. 3.3 million. It's a 43% drop in week three. That's 28.9. We'll call that one 29 million. Domestic and foreign, 88 million. So.
You see, this was supposed to be taken five.
Oh, really?
No, I made that up.
Oh, like,
more breaking fake news.
Wow. But yeah, so, I mean, you're talking about over $120 million worldwide on a $35 million. So
what, I wonder what he. What Jackie Chan still brings in overseas?
Well,
a lot.
90 compared to 30 here.
Yeah, I guess
so
that's
He was in the Lego Ninjago movie, Joe. Don't forget about that.
Sorry.
One. So, yeah, that's that. Have we mentioned the movie of the day yet?
Nope. I don't think
we, oh, okay. Opening at number nine, Suburbicon with $3 million. Seems a little high. Let's see. The budget is not applicable on that one, so okie dokie.
Couldn't have been much.
And,
it couldn't have been. Like they filmed it in three places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's like one star.
Yeah.
Well, two, I guess. Julianne Moore, I guess, is...
Yeah, she counts as two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll get to that one later, but rounding out the top 10, Joe, you'll be happy. It.
Yeah.
Capital I, capital T.
That's good. I'm glad.
2017's It brought in $2.4 million, a 30% drop in week eight. That brings it to $223.5 million domestic, but wait, there's more. 332 overseas. So you're over $650 million on a $35 million budget.
I think they should have pulled it and done a digital release.
Oh, before Halloween,
more,
yeah.
Yep, it would have made more for digital.
I guess you could still technically do it.
The only thing I can think of is that people just are going to get it anyway, so they're like, we'll make that $2 million box office, and those same people will buy it because it's that good.
Don't they release that stuff? Do they release, when they release stuff early like that on digital, do they just release the movie, or is there features with it?
There's features.
There's features, mm-hmm. but
you get the same.
I hate that free digital release crap.
Too. Yeah, I'm with you.
Why?
Because I like the
oh, because you don't buy them, so you wait 2 weeks. Yeah. Is what you're saying? Yeah.
It's like, but what I don't like is like, and they don't control it, but it's like if you pre-order it, mm-hmm. or even
why don't
you
get the copy?
There should be a way to get the digital early, even though you're waiting for the physical.
Oh, like a digital code.
I think Walmart does that sometimes. So if you've never used Walmart's InstaWatch feature, so you buy a Blu-ray from Walmart, and as it's being shipped to your house or you pick it up, they drop it in your Vudu to watch.
Well, shipped.
And then, well, yeah, I mean, once it's shipped or you pick it up, they...
I'll go ship it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I really heard one option.
Yeah, sorry. But it's really neat because you could buy a movie and like, so you're like, okay, I don't want to rent this movie for $6. I'd probably like to watch it again, and it's 10 to own, right?
Right, right.
So you're like, oh, I'm not going to rent it, but I don't want to buy just the digital. In Dan's case, he likes the physical media.
I'm with you, though.
So
in the same boat.
You get, for $10, you get it instantly in your Vudu. You get the copy, and as Tom knows, you get another code. So you give that to someone for Christmas or whatever, or you keep the code and give the DVD away. Like,
so what happens if you buy the movie, and they put it in your Vudu, and then you return the movie?
Out.
They can track
it out. Yep.
I was curious.
I've not picked one up on accident before. I've ordered it, and then I'm like, you know, I don't really want to spend $20 on that. It's gone.
Interesting.
I will say I've had a case where it hasn't, and I mean, what? It's not like I spent a ton of money. It was probably a $10 thing. I didn't pick it up, got busy again, and it was still in there. I'm like, eh, okay. But the other time it was gone, so I know there is a certain way they,
I was just curious.
Because that would be like, free rentals for everybody, right?
I bought a movie for somebody as like
a gift,
like a gag gift, and so that's how I
Airplane 2?
The Expendables.
And
shut your mouth.
That first one is great.
Yeah, the gift was
why I got it for.
Gift was for Joe, right? Yeah.
It was, I like the first one a lot.
It was a gag for me. It wasn't for you. But it showed up in my, because I bought it at Walmart. It showed up in my Vudu, and I was like, done.
I think that's neat though. If you're gonna buy, and this is a tip for the holidays that are coming up. Seriously, if you want a present for someone, and you know the bonus is you get to keep an extra copy, order it off Walmart. It will say if it's InstaWatch. Give away the gift, but then you have a movie to own. I just
pre-ordered Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah,
and Land of the Dead.
The
both
Scream-
of those.
Shout
Factory is doing them both, or Scream Factory. Yeah,
Scream. I guess. Yeah,
I'm interested to see like what is on there. I didn't even look at the special. I didn't even look.
Sure.
I'm like just I'll take it.
It's a new. It's a 2K transfer. You know.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's gonna look really good. I love Dawn of the Dead the remake.
It's a good. It's,
My favorite
Zack Dawn Snyder
of the
movie?
No, my well, it is really good. Huh? My favorite horror or my favorite zombie movie is Dawn of the Dead, the original. Yeah, I like it. I like Night of the Living Dead.
It's a perfect movie.
But Dawn of the Dead is great, and then they made the remake, and I think it's a great film too.
It is.
So
I wouldn't say great. It's really a lot of fun.
You don't think it's great?
Oh, Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah.
The remake.
Yes. I
think it's a great remake.
I feel like the word great gets thrown around a lot. It's a lot of fun. I think it's a really well done, really smart remake. Yeah. It's coming off of 28 Days Later, so you've got the
they
some,
did Running Zombies.
Well, sort of. Right? Yeah. So like Snyder even said, he's like, so the ones that are fresh still have all their motor functions. Mm-hmm. Like they're still good. The worse they get, the slower
they get.
That's
interesting. It deteriorates.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Favorite scene of that movie is when they're shooting celebrities in the head.
Yeah.
I love that. That's one of my favorite scenes of that movie.
You've got Phil from Modern Family being a total D-bag.
Phil Dunphy, yeah. Ving Rhames, yeah, it's all good stuff.
No, it's really a solid film. And, you know, when I say great, it's because I think it is better than just good or just okay. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's not just good. I think it's
really
great.
Good. It's really
good.
It's a lot
of
fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I'll be interested. Let me know how that turns out.
Yeah.
I might pick that one up, too. But anyway, that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan, and I'm going to go get some coffee. No, this is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGrady67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me at Twitter on Twitter at Roger Kubert. You can do it that way, too. Or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, the hottest movie in America,
the number 9 movie in America.
I think America has got Suburbicon fever. And you are in the right place because we will probably be the only podcast talking about it.
That's a safe bet.
Our Age of Adeline.
I was thinking, yeah.
So, which finally fell out of the top 10 our most popular episodes.
Unfortunately.
But for some reason,
it kept stuff. That was a weird one.
Still think it's because we're the only people that talked about it.
Blake's mom just kept downloading it over and over and over.
Blake Lively or Blake?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. I didn't get that either. I'm like,
that too.
So Colleen was listening.
So anyway, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, you've been warned. A police car to break the suburban spell. Let's take a ride among with the dogs tonight in suburbia. You can hide along with the dogs tonight in suburbia. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.